Good evening to all. This pre-recorded shiur is the shiur for Tuesday, the 18th of August, Chof Ches Menachemov. We shall be learning tonight Simon Tof Kuf Vav, Seifim Vav Zayin Ches Tes, which is page 242, thereby completing the Simon. We spoke about kneading. We are continuing with those halachas now. What happens if a person has got shutfus, he's got a partnership with a goy regarding the flour? In other words, he owns flour in partnership with a goy. Hoyolei kemach, top of the page 242. Hoyloi kemach oy isa b'shutfas, if he had flour or dough for that matter, b'shutfas in a partnership imen ihuti with a goy, also he may not lefoise b'yomtev bake it on yomtev. Elo rather yichalkenu should split it, divide it, half it for yefe and bake as shlo his. We know a person may bake on yomtev. It's oichal nefesh, but that's as long as he's going to eat it. If he's not going to eat it, then you're not allowed to bake. Now, if it's a goy's bread, then he's not going to eat it. So there's no permission to bake bread which is for goy. Now, the shutfas is partnership. So how are you allowed to, you can't bake that bread because of the goy's part in it. Of course, he reminds us of a discussion we had previously about what exactly shutfus is. How about over here? If you're baking it, you're baking half of a goy, and therefore it's osu. Now, if you're splitting it beforehand, then it's obviously okay. You've got half of half which is yours. You're baking that one, and you're not baking the goy's half. That's fine. Now, there's an obvious question here, and then that is what we have taka discussed previously in Simon Tov Tzadiches. Do you remember the discussion of an animal which belongs partially to a yid and partially to a goy? So a shutfus with a goy with regards to an animal. What's the halacha there? So we learned then in Simon Tov Tzadiches, we learned that yes, you can, although it's half, nevertheless, you're allowed to shecht it. So why are you allowed to shecht a animal which is a partnership with a goy, and you're not allowed to bake a dough which is partnered with a goy? What is the difference between the animal, slaughtering, shechting, permitted, baking dough, which is, we're learning here, also. Mishnah Bosef Kot Lamed Gimel. Also, lefoisa and beisa. Yeah, v'loy domi lebehemet doesn't resemble at all. It's not comparable to the animal. Shechetzio, which half shel Yisrael belongs to the yid, v'chetzio, and the other half shelakum belongs to the goy. The mutter leshachta b'yomtev. There we learned that it's permitted to shecht on yomtev. Canal, as we learned earlier, b'simon tov tzadiches, in simon tov tzadiches, sif yud alef. The shani hosom, there it's different. Why? Tief shel chizayis boso. It is impossible to have even olive-sized piece of meat, exais, ploshchit, without slaughtering. You can't have kosher meat without shechting the entire animal. You've got to shecht the entire animal to have even a exais. Certainly, in order to have half, you've got to shecht it. You've got to shecht all animals. You can't shecht only half animal. Therefore, it allows you, by definition, the fact that you're allowed to have a bit of meat, that by definition allows you to be allowed to shecht the entire animal, even though only half is yours. There's no way you could only shecht your half. Avol, but hocha here, however shalechalek, you can. It's physically possible, and it's perfectly achievable to lechalek mekoilim, to split the dough in advance, half. For etriach bechol keulat, he's only going to bake his own portion. There's no difficulty in splitting it in advance. Therefore, when it comes to the baked bread, you've got to split it before you bake it, as opposed to the shechting of the animal, which is not possible. Very nice. Siv Zayin. Im yesh la'odom harbe pasnikir. A person has got a lot of white, fine flour. En oifa, you may not bake. Pasacher is a different kind of bread. You've got a perfect bread, so eat it, enjoy it. Elim Kane, unless he's got family members, Shirogil, that they are used to eating lachilom, pasado, they are used to eating low quality bread. So then you may bake additional bread which is of low quality. Generally, however, if you've got good bread, you know how to bake low quality bread if you're going to end up eating only the better quality. But if there are specific family members that enjoy the low quality bread better, whether they are health minded or they just prefer it for the taste, you're allowed to bake low quality bread for them. But if you've got a lot of low quality bread, you may bake fine flour bread. It's considered an increase of quality, and therefore you're allowed to do it even without knowledge, specific knowledge of somebody who's going to eat it. So when it comes to baking more bread, if it's better quality, you can just bake it because you're going to find consumers for that. You're going to find people who are going to eat it and enjoy it. Better quality is always fine. When it comes to lower quality, then you've got to make sure that actually somebody prefers it and they're actually going to eat it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan, Lamed Vav, Einu Yoifer, you may not bake lower quality, Ben Pas Nekir, Ben Pas Hadar. You've got good quality bread, he's just preferred for his eating. What about if you've got a completely different type of bread? So you've got very, very nice, bread, and now you want, which is fine flour, and it's into but you want to have now a different style of bread altogether, made out of a different grain. Can you make that? So here the halacha is, yeah. If you're making more wheat bread, you've got to make sure it's, as we discussed, but from a different type of grain, say you want rye, you want barley, you want something made out of a different grain altogether, even if it's low quality, then it will be permitted anyway. So if you're talking about a different kind of bread altogether, certainly you're allowed to bake that on Yom Tov. Also, also is soil beyond you to make yeast on Yom Tov, and only three shinui. Because show would be something you could have done before Yom Tov. So here comes the rule again. If you were able to do it before Yom Tov, you should have done so. It does not lose quality by doing it before Yom Tov, and therefore you must have done that. Shinui won't help. Shinui does help. So if you didn't do it before Yom Tov, if you didn't make the yeast before Yom Tov, you may do it on Yom Tov with Shinui. Finally, Sif Tes, Afilu Nishchato Behema Be'erev Yom Tov, even if the animal was slaughtered on Erev Yom Tov, Mutala Hafresh HaMatonis B'Yom Tov, you have to make this the Matnes Gona on Yom Tov. So even an animal which was slaughtered before Yom Tov, you may do the Afreshes on Yom Tov. Sivkot men beis mutel hafrish batonas biyomtiv mishum de enu mesaken, because that's not considered a tikkun. It's not considered fixing because it's just an additional halacha that you must take this. It's not like chala or like teva. The matnos kohuna is something which you could have. It's an additional halacha that you must separate. You must give. And therefore, it's something which you could have. You could do that on Yom Tov. Now, just going back to the earlier halacha, I just want to ask a question, which I personally don't have clarity in it. We learned that a person is allowed to always increase the quality of the bread. Okay, so if you've got pasado, if you've got low quality bread, you're allowed to bake more. Now, you're allowed to bake more if it's better quality flour. Now, what's the halacha in the following scenario? What happens if a person has got, he wants to initially make better bread, but he also wants to do additional bread, which is not going to eat on Yom Tov, which is fine to be lower quality bread. So what he's doing is doing lower quality bread on Yom Tov. Clearly, with the intention and the knowledge and the awareness, that's going to be for after Yom Tov. He bakes it and bakes it and bakes it, and after he says, oh, actually I want to do better quality for today. And then he bakes that better bread today, and he says, oh, that's actually what I'm going to use. Is it allowed to do that or not? So this is the case of Aroma. And what we're learning over here in Sifkot Namites, I'm Mokan Avom, third line on this column. Avolim Yeshloi, I'm Mokan Avom, the Mutel Chachilelech, who is Pas Hador. You're allowed to bake low quality bread for Achkach, and afterwards, Pas Nikir, better bread. Vidavkim, Ritzelech, Ala Pas Hador. If that's only if he wants to eat the low quality bread today, Avolim Kavanos Solarim, but if he's trying to do illegal tricking, that is going to be remaining on the weekday, but that's certainly going to be also. So the scenario that we just mentioned now, that you're baking lots of low quality bread on Yom Tov with intention to eat it after Yom Tov, and then you trick, and then after this you're going to use, and then you're going to say, oh, actually I want better quality bread, and that's what you're finally going to be baking, and that's what you're finally going to be enjoying on Yom Tov, that's also, because that's called haram, and you're not allowed to do that. Now, you're not allowed to do that if you have full knowledge and understanding, you're not going to be eating the low quality bread on Yom Tov. I'm not sure why this is different than the earlier scenarios. We learned about haram earlier, and in some cases we found that it was permitted. Here it's clearly also, and I wonder why this is different than the earlier case of haram, which sometimes we found it was mutter. So this is a bit of a question which I have, and I wonder if you've got any thoughts on that. A thought. Reb Elopian makes an interesting observation, and he says that it's interesting that if we look at HaSinai, we find that there is no long-lasting kedusha on the HaSinai, whilst during Kabbalah Satoira, certainly there was many halachas. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed up, and even animals weren't allowed. Nobody was allowed anywhere near the Har Sinai, and where the Torah was received. This was only during the actual receiving of during Kabbalah Satoira. Later on, there was no kedusha. If we were to know where exactly Har Sinai is, we still had to go there. There's no kedusha there. There's the controversy where exactly it is, but wherever it may be, one is allowed to go there nowadays. There's no kedusha. This is different. This is in contrast to the Mokam HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash was. That's got kedusha. We know that there's a bit of controversy also where the Beis HaMikdash actually stood. But if we go with most opinions, then it's behind what we know as the coastal, and there was the wall of the rabbis, but behind that there was the Beis HaMikdash, and the one is not allowed to go there, as long as in our current Tamei states, one is not allowed to go there. So the question is, why so? If the place where the Torah was received has got no kedusha, then let me ask the other way around. If the place where the Mikdash once stood, if that is called eternal kedusha, then even more so should be where the Torah was received. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash was only a few mitzvahs were kept. You've got the karbonos, you've got the all the mitzvahs that the Kohanim did and Klal Yisrael did there, and that's got such a long, powerful, lasting kedusha that we're not allowed to go there. So why does the Mokum, the place where we receive the Torah, why it's going to, it should be even more holy and even more long-lasting and even more powerful, the Kedusha? Why? So a very interesting observation by Rabbi Lapian, and he answers and explains. Because the Kedusha, which was in our Sinai, that was something that only came from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, full stop. It was something which came from above, was given to us, and Klal Yisrael, whilst they were worthy of it, but didn't really do so much towards it. Or something which Klal Yisrael received, kind of on a silver plate. However, when it comes to the Mokam HaMikdash, the Kedusha was much more solid, much more strong, much more powerful, because this is something which Klal Yisrael worked on for many, many years. Mokam HaMikdash was the Korbonos, Klal Yisrael, Koyanim Be'avidosam, Levim Be'Shiram. They even worked very, very hard there, and they made sure to get close to HaKadosh Baruch in the right way. And they created that Kedusha. A man made Kedusha, here is the point. A man made Kedusha is more long-lasting, more powerful, stronger, more solid, and that's what has the impact forever. The Kedusha, which comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something which is very powerful during the moment, but as soon as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu left, as it were, the place, instantly, the Kedusha was removed. That, of course, teaches us the importance and the chshivas and the power of our actions. I wish you a very good evening.